Insight with Jack Stogler right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's show. And now, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
We experienced some problems with our recording software for the first half of Insight tonight. The audio was very garbled, but most of what was discussed in the first two segments was reviewed later in the show. We now join the show about 30 minutes into it.
Security number or your Ohio driver's license number or your state ID number. And you also have to declare what election it's for, and then you have to sign it as well. Those same items that are checked on the application are also required on the ID envelope that when you return your ballot. So that's another thing that we do throughout the early voting period if somebody's processing the mail and making sure that all of those items match. And if they don't, or there's somebody transposed the numbers on the Social Security or maybe wrote 2024 on their birth date, we have another process where we send a follow-up letter that says, hey, you made a mistake. Here's an additional form. If you fill this out and get it back, then we can move forward with counting your ballot. But until that all of that information matches, those ballots are not counted.
Does the increase in the number of mail-in ballots make the tallying process more difficult?
I don't think so, personally. I like vote by mail. I always have. When I first came to work at the Board of Elections, it made sense to me that election officials who do this day in and day out every day of the year and, go to seminars and conference and have all of the resources at our fingertips and the law and the county prosecutor and all of the backup information that we have, that we should be the ones running elections. These are just my personal opinions now.
They are just my personal opinions,
but, and then we're spending at that time $25,000 at each election to send four poll workers out on election day to make sure people have election day. Now I get it. People like election day. That's their ritual. That's how they do it and everything. But the $25,000 at that time, well, postage has changed since this philosophy too, but at that time you could have mailed 25,000 ballots and had it over with and have election officials take care of all of it. But so I'm not opposed to mail. It doesn't really make it harder. It's just another way of doing it and making it easier for the voters, because I don't think the voters can argue that it's easy to vote in Ohio.
Yeah, it is.
Right.
It really is. And people back when they started making the state law that you have to register, and they were purging the ones that hadn't voted for 8 years and all this stuff, people were just having a fit, because how does somebody that's maybe not real mobile or doesn't have a driver's license or lives somewhere where they can't let's say Fort Recovery, but you have to register in Salina, how do you get that done? Well, there's a thousand ways to do it.
You did ask a question, Jack, about the difference between voting by mail and voting in person, because there are people that don't have a driver's license.
Sure.
Or a passport or a state ID. They'll have a hard time voting on election day because they don't have the documentation that's needed. But they can still vote by mail by supplying all that information and us verifying it, whether it's, we don't check if it's expired because we don't have the driver's license in front of us and you don't have to turn in a copy. But if the number matches or your last four of your Social Security matches, that counts as a valid ID match, so that the absentee by mail is counted. On election day, the law has changed now, and you do have to provide a valid form of photo identification.
And that's just, and that's a state-by-state thing, correct? I mean, because some states don't require the photo ID, so it's...
That's the state of Ohio rule.
Okay.
Yeah. It's also important to note that in the state of Ohio, you can get a free state ID. You do not have to pay for your state ID if you do not have a driver's license.
Very good. So, and I'll tell you what, we could probably have a little mini debate on whether we should make it as easy as possible to vote or make it as difficult. as possible to vote. Because I, you know, I think nationwide, I think that's a discussion that is out there. And there are certainly pros and cons to both, I think. So
we're not going to do that tonight.
No. So yeah. So let's talk about. So it's 7:30, a month from Tuesday, and it's election day, and people have stopped voting. What happens at the border election at that time?
At our office at 7:30 p.m., we have two employees, bipartisan team, at the drop box to see if anybody's in line to put a ballot in the drop box at 7:30. If there would be a line, they would stand behind the last car that's in line and let anybody that's in the line go ahead and put their ballot in the drop box. And then at 7:30, they would bring that in and we would verify the information on the envelope before it's put through the tabulation scanner and counted. So at, if there are none, at that point, we typically have all of the absentee mail ballots and the early voting, because early voting ends on Sunday at 5 o'clock. There's no voting on Monday or Tuesday at the courthouse. So we have closed down those machines. We have the paper ballot backups in the scanner in the locked bin. And we also have the memory stick that is uploaded into the tabulation system that we verify the number of registered voters who we issued ballots to and returned them for counting matches the number of ballots that are uploaded. And we email out the results by 7:45 for the absentee results. That's what's happening at the election office at 7:30. And we wait for the seven locations. They have what's called a voting location manager that returns the supplies. They bring someone in the same vehicle, someone of the opposite party. They return the electronic poll books, which is kind of like the signature sign-in sheet, and they also bring the results. So when they come in, we verify that the number of voters that they have issued in the poll book matches the number of voters on their stick before they're allowed to leave. And until the last polling place comes in, we don't have unofficial, those are unofficial results on election night, but everything that's cast up until 7:30 on election night should be counted in that unofficial canvas.
The voting location managers also bring back all the paper ballots that are in the scanner. We don't, those come back election night also.
Okay, so like if I vote in Fort Recovery at 7:30, two representatives from my precinct will take the disc and the paper ballot and they will drive it over to the courthouse.
Yes. Yes. And what that's what's happening. I told you what was happening at the Board of Elections office. At the polling location on election day, they are also waiting till 7:30 to make sure nobody's in line or there's not a court order that could happen in some instances. Knock on wood, we won't go there. But after they're finished, they also reconcile the number of paper ballots that they were given against the number of paper ballots that were cast, the number of voters that they have in the poll book, and the number of voters who cast ballots on the machines. They run reports. They sign off on that. A bipartisan team makes sure that all of that comes together on a ballot accounting sheet, as well as putting seals on the equipment to make sure that when it comes in the chain of custody to the next person, you would check the seal to make sure that the seal has not been tampered with. So it's a pretty foolproof process.
Yeah. So the machines, okay, like are they in the process right now of being tested and verified or whatever they have to go through?
They have been tested.
Okay.
So we have done logic and accuracy testing already on all our election day machines and our 450 scanner, which we scan the mail absentee and the provisional ballots on.
So from a tallying standpoint, this is basically all done by a computer to a certain extent, right? I mean, there's no actual counting of ballots.
Only at the audit afterwards.
Yeah,
Yeah. Right. That, and the audit is automatic. It's just not that day.
Right.
You don't have to sit there till 4 in the morning counting stuff.
Oh, I think if we had to hand count, we'd be there till Christmas.
Well, we wouldn't stay. You can't hand count and be accurate after a 14-hour day.
You'd
have to. That would be
a new shift would have to come in.
Yes.
New set of election officials.
So when you do that, when you do that audit, how many people are involved and how long does it take? Is it like a team of people and they do it in a day, or is there two people that do it and it takes them a week, or what?
We change their names, election administrators, and it, usually the four of us will do the audit. And it takes us 5 hours, maybe 4 or 5 hours.
It could be like for a bigger election, because what happens is at the official canvas, when the board meets and they count the ballots that are eligible to be counted that are received in between unofficial and that two-week period when it's official. And then there's a whole big process of all that. All of this is open to the public, by the way, if you guys would ever like to come over and see it. And we do, as Christy said, need some backup poll workers if you're interested. But at that meeting, they select three precincts that equal 5% of the total votes cast in that election. And we audit the absentee mail, the absentee in person, the election day, whether, one is in Salina bag, we have to go all through, and one's in Fort Recovery bag, we have to go through every bag and find that precinct's ballot. So in a bigger election, that's more ballots that you have to go through to find them. But every time we've done it, it's been a 100% accuracy rate.
Yeah. Is, you've seen and... You don't know what is real and what's not, but you've seen video of different elections in different states where they're saying fraud occurred. Okay, is there anything that's video recorded at the Mercer County level?
Well, we're on a security camera that the sheriff has in the courthouse. As far as security goes in our office, we can go into our office and we can work and sign into our computers, but anytime that it includes the working on a voted ballot or programming the ballot, we go into the tabulation room where there's three locks on the door. I have the key to one, Christy has the key to another, and then there's a third key on the bottom, and that's actually monitored by camera as well. When we're doing early voting,
And the security system,
when we go down and we're in the auditorium, when we lock that up at night, there's motion detectors in there, so if somebody were to come in, the security company would be calling us and the police and the sheriff at the same time.
Yep.
We've made, we've keyed the number in wrong before, and it makes a loud noise, and it lets you know. So when you hear fraud, and you talk about other states, what's happening, I think elections are complicated. In Ohio, we understand the process of how we do it. I think across the state line in Indiana, that an elected official is in charge of elections. Like the you quote me if I'm wrong, but I think the clerk of courts is the person who...
Back check you.
Put me on Google. Fact check me here if you want. But, they're run differently all over the country, and there's different rules, and then there's always changing rules as well. They want to change the rules on ID, or, whether it has to be a photo ID, and if it's getting tougher or easier. But in Ohio, I feel confident to say that our elections are safe and secure and efficient and easy.
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to make sure that we touch on all the important things, dates, information that we want to make sure that we touch on. So we'll be back right after this.
One guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
You can't predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable. Sometime in the future, you will lose power. Of course, with the Generac automatic standby generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac automatic standby generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details. Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
It's summer, and that means lots of cookouts, and Wayne IGA has everything you need. They have great prices on their nicely trimmed steaks, ready to go in their grab-and-go meat case. And don't forget about their hamburgers, pork chops, boneless chicken breasts, and more. While you're there getting your grilling supplies, be sure to grab everything that goes with your cookout. Fresh vegetables, potato salad, macaroni salad, chips and dips, and how about a veggie or meat and cheese tray? And be sure to check out their largest selection of wine and beer. Make Wayne IGA your headquarters for all your cookouts this year.
The Mercer County Board of Elections would like to remind voters that absentee voting by mail begins on October 8th. You need to submit an application that will be verified before your ballot is mailed to you. Applications are available on the Board of Elections website, or you can request that one be sent to you by calling the election office at 419-586-2215. The deadline to request a mail ballot is on Tuesday, October 29th at 8:30 p.m. The Mercer County Board of Elections would like to remind voters that the registration deadline for the November 5th general election is Monday, October 7th. If you have moved or got married or are new to the area, you can register for the first time or update your current registration by visiting voteohio.gov. And registration forms are also available at any local election office.
Yeah. We're back. We're back. Sorry, Jack.
We were talking stories, and I was doing stuff, so we're back.
We were talking about deer hunting and summer sausage.
I was earlier, just now, we were talking about some of the same things that that the girls were talking about here on the recordings.
Deer hunting and voting. They're kind of going the same season.
Okay, so we're back.
All right. So, let's make sure that we touch on the key dates that are fast approaching. Okay.
Okay, so October 7th at 9 p.m., if you need to update your registration, you need to have that done because that's the end of registration. And then on Tuesday, October 8th at 8 a.m., it's the beginning of early voting.
Tuesday at 8 a.m., and that is at the courthouse.
At the courthouse auditorium. If you come in the west side door, that's the most convenient door for you to come down to the auditorium. And if you cannot do steps, there is a ground level door to take the sidewalk around to enter the auditorium.
Fantastic. And so we touched on this very briefly, but there really isn't any difference nowadays between an absentee ballot and a mail-in ballot. They're basically obtained the same way and counted the same way, correct?
It's the same, yes. It's the same thing that you're talking about, an absentee or a mail-in.
Good. So, how about changes in any of the polling sites? Are we pretty consistent with the way it's been done in the past, or is there anybody?
We have switched in the Salina precincts. They will not be voting at the Galleria in Salina. They will be moving to the fairgrounds and voting at the Market Hall, which is the fairgrounds' new building.
Very good.
There'll be plenty of signage.
Yeah, follow the cars.
Plenty of parking.
Yes.
Just look for all the cars.
Right.
No steps.
No steps.
No steps. So it's...
I don't think there's allowed to be steps anymore, if it's at all possible.
No, it has to be ADA accessible.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And that's a good thing. That's right. A really good thing. And, you know, it's all... It's just especially having talked to you guys basically once or twice every year for a while, I have 100% confidence that our elections here are 100% up and up.
Thank you.
And I think from talking to you and knowing the process for State of Ohio, it sounds like there's almost, you know, even if somebody wanted to cheat, I don't know if it's, you'd have to have somebody from each party in on it.
That's true.
And, right. You know, nobody would do that. You know, they wouldn't go against their party and say, hey, this is, you know, I just can't imagine that would ever happen. So I have 100% confidence unless somebody messes up. And not my understanding was there's some sort of problem down in Miami County 8 or 10 years ago. And that got straightened out because they stole one of our people.
Well, we knew what happened that night just on the process of what happened there. So it was a turnover.
Move that a little closer.
It was a turnover of election officials, I think, there that made that happen because, well, they got it figured out anyway. So that's a good thing.
Ladies, are we missing anything other than getting Deb a new microphone?
The only other important date we should mention is October 29th is the last day you can submit an application for an absentee mail ballot.
Okay, October 29th is the last day to mail in.
To send an application in to ask for a mail-in ballot. And we're open till 8:30 that night.
Okay. Yes. And I tell you what, it's refreshing to see an organization, a business that seems to go out of their way to meet the needs of the people. You guys stay open on those key days. You try your best to inform everybody, and I know that you've got a few long weeks ahead of you coming up, and thank goodness for, you know, people like you, and thank goodness for the poll worker volunteers.
Yes, most definitely. We're lucky, I think, you know, when you think about it, and election night at the accumulation of all of this hard work and, you know, recruiting all those poll workers, that we live in America where we still have a say in our democracy, and that happens at the ballot box.
Yep.
And there's no better feeling than to know that you're providing that service for people to know that their voice is heard.
Yeah. And as far as, let's say, the extended hours that you're going to be available for the in-person voting and that type of thing. Where's people's... We could tell them now, but they're going to forget. Where's a good place for them to go? Is that also on your website?
On our website, they'll be listed. You can call our office anytime. Yeah, our Facebook is a great resource to follow Mercer County elections.
Since this is a presidential election, we are actually open 2 weekends instead of just one.
So there can be Sunday voting, Saturday voting.
Yes,
right.
So look for the hours.
The 26th and the 27th is our first weekend, and then the 2nd and the 3rd is the 2nd.
Yep. But then it ends at Sunday.
Because you have to take those machines and get them somewhere else.
We got to pack it all up and take it out to those poll workers and make sure everything's where it's supposed to be.
And it's accurate. All updated. Yes.
Everybody's marked as voted, so you can't vote twice.
Well, ladies, I tell you what, I wish you nothing but smooth weeks that are coming up. They're both on their fourth drink right now. They don't care.
But it's
that's not true.
Deb is drinking Orange Crush.
Yes. Well, but I tell you what, I appreciate you stopping by and explaining the you know, process, the people involved. You know, I believe that the more people know about stuff, the more likely they are to trust in the process. And you guys have done a great job of that tonight.
Thank you very much. We're here to help. I mean, our stuff is public out there. Anytime any voter has a question, what do I do? Where do I go? What does this mean? Call the election officials in Mercer County, Ohio, wherever you are. Call the officials and get the answer from the source that knows what's going on.
Fantastic. And for people that have questions, you can go to the Mercer County Board of Elections Action Facebook page or their website, and I'm sure you can get information. What is the Vote Ohio, or what is the website?
VoteOhio.gov. It's where you can update your registration.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yep.
So I tell you what, guys, it was fun. It was a quick hour.
Oh, it was.
And we're going to take a little break and come back with a rocker rant.
And it's going to be something I think he assigned you to get four different things, and he was going to pick one, or you were going to...
What?
I don't know. I was thinking you're supposed to get four of them, and he was going to pick which one he wanted.
Oh,
but,
crap.
Well, maybe just give him your one option.
Okay.
And he says, yes, you don't have to worry about the other three.
Is this our cue to leave?
Everybody, vote November, what is it, 5th?
5th.
5th. Vote for them for November 5th. And ladies, thanks a million. Stay tuned for Rocker.
Back right after this.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Hello, I'm Harold Peely, owner of Hastings Auto Sales and Service in Fort Recovery. Ball's in the air, time for football, pumpkins, and getting your vehicle ready for cooler weather. Your maintenance appointments will include testing your battery and checking all fluid levels. We also check your brakes, tires, belts, wipers, hoses, and all lights. Give us a call here at Hastings Auto Sales at 419-375-4617 for all your automotive needs.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. I believe firmly in two things. The little things mean a lot, and to be great, you have to be practicing certain tasks, OADB, on a daily basis. That's why farmers, when thinking about your 2023 and 2024 operating monies, come see me for the best value in the market, because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice having a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See me for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
Mark your calendars for a very important event happening here in Fort Recovery. It's the return of Beyond the Battlefield and St. Clair's Defeat, connecting with the tribal nations of today, coming up on Saturday and Sunday, October 19th and 20th. There will be 10 official representatives from four tribes who will be here to help interpret their tribe's history and culture. There will be several scheduled presentations on both days, and official representatives from several of the tribes will be on the museum grounds all weekend, and visitors are welcome to ask questions and have discussions with them. You can also take the battleground tour and visit various other historical sites around town, and our museum will be open to the public at no charge. Check the Fort Recovery Museum Facebook page for details and updates. If you didn't make it to Beyond the Battlefield last year, this is your chance to learn even more about what really happened here in 1791. Most of us know about the U.S. Army side of the battle, and now here's our chance to get the Native Americans' perspective on this battle that changed the course of American history. Get to the museum grounds on Saturday and Sunday, October 19th and 20th, for Beyond the Battlefield, interpreting St. Clair's defeat through the eyes of tribal citizens. You don't want to miss it.
We're back. Hello, Rocker.
Jack, what's going on, big guy?
I missed you last week.
I was here.
Oh.
Where were you?
Physically, I was here.
Mentally?
Fantastic to see you. What is your topic?
Well, that was your...
That's your assignment.
That was your homework.
Supposed to give you a rant subject.
Here it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Peter Edward Rose. Okay. Passed away.
Yes.
Monday, I think. Sunday or Monday.
The day we all knew was coming.
I don't think anybody knew it was coming.
Well, it's coming, but I was thinking 10 more years.
Yeah.
But I knew it was coming.
So, Hall of Fame.
Yes.
not Hall of Fame. Would it be a disservice, okay, now that he's passed, to let him in the Hall of Fame? Wouldn't it seem more like a
gimmick?
Yeah.
Well, yes and yes. But yes, he should be in, and yes, it would be a gimmick. However, I think it should be done.
He broke the rules.
Forgiveness. That's what God teaches us, don't it?
Well, yeah, but there's rules, and you can forgive stuff. We don't forgive people who commit crimes. We don't say, oh.
Pete Rose didn't murder anybody either, but
nope.
O.J. Simpson's in the NFL Hall of Fame, ain't he?
I think he is.
There you go. That's my answer.
Yep, I'm with you. I'm just giving the remarks that other people would say. He broke the rules. And he knew the rules. He broke the rules. He's done.
Okay.
So how do you fight that image?
Here's how you fight that. It was a lifetime ban. He's dead. Put him in the Hall of Fame now. He doesn't have a lifetime anymore.
Well,
it was a lifetime ban from what I best I can come up with from any information I found. It was a lifetime ban. He's dead. We can put him in the Hall of Fame now.
Jack, what do you think? They're mutton chops?
Here's what I think. Okay. He broke the rules. He should have been kicked out of baseball, of Major League Baseball, for life.
What's he did?
The Hall of Fame isn't Major League Baseball.
Correct.
They're its own entity. Okay? They don't have to abide by the same rules as Major League Baseball. Okay? So, in that way, for what he did between the lines, Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame.
I agree with you. And the other thing is, okay, yes, he did something wrong. Should he have admitted to it right away? Yes. I think part of what pisses a lot of people off is the fact that he denied it for so long.
Yeah, he did zero to help himself.
Yeah, he did very little to help himself. And then when he got out there, he did the whole the Hall of Fame weekend every year. Where was Pete Rose? He was always at a card shop, not a block away from it, trying to sell his autograph. Not that that's wrong, but you could have picked other weekends but that one.
Yeah. So, anything else on that topic?
Well,
Mayor Kalp, you have anything to add to that?
Well, here's what I think, Jack, and I think that Pete Rose got a hell of a lot more press over the last 40 years, 38 years since he was kicked out of baseball than he would have had he'd have been inducted into the Hall of Fame and forgotten about it. Pete Rose has been on the news every year. How many times since that? So people have remembered Pete Rose a heck of a lot more.
That's a great point. That hadn't ever occurred to me. A great point.
He's his own Sports Center. They talk about him all the time. But how many guys that was inducted into the Hall of Fame the year that he could have been inducted in, do you remember?
Yep.
I don't remember any.
No.
But I remember Pete Rose just because of he's on the news all the time.
Here's my other drawback on Pete Rose. Not Pete himself, but okay. So they go to Pete dies, then they go to Johnny and other boys. Now, other than maybe a couple others, most of them say he shouldn't be in. Johnny is the prime one, of course. I don't know what those two beef was, but I don't know if it was jealousy all those years, but those two did not like each other.
Who?
Johnny Pete. Bench.
No.
To this day.
That isn't true.
Yeah, I think they're buddies.
I've seen things both ways. But, you know, if Johnny Bench is a little pissed off about it, it's probably because somewhere along the line he asked Pete if he did that and Pete lied to him.
Maybe.
That's what I've always thought. And I have no proof for that. That's just my opinion.
I saw an interview done yesterday, or maybe the day before, with Johnny Bench. And he said he loved Pete Rose, but that he was so angry at him. And that exactly what happened was Johnny's biggest fear, that Pete would pass away and his legacy
would be that.
And his legacy would be what it is. And from Johnny's standpoint, Pete had a number of opportunities to make things
right. Like Calpe says,
didn't take advantage of them.
And like you said, he did it to himself.
Yeah.
And even Pete said, had I come out and admitted to it right off the bat, it probably wouldn't have been as bad. I probably might not have been, I probably would still been banned, but I would have been at least forgiven a little easier.
10 years or something.
Even if 5 years down the road, he would have made amends. It changes everything, you know. But that's not Peter Edward Rose. So, are you ready for topic two?
Yes.
The vice presidential debate.
I didn't see it, but I mean, I can only imagine the edge. Well, I wouldn't say that's not even good. The smart level. Like I said, here you got J.D. Vance. I mean, they both went to college.
Yeah, he went to Harvard.
And Mr. Tampon Boy.
Whoa.
you know.
Wow, I don't know where that came from.
Oh, yeah. So he, in the state of Minnesota that he's governor of.
Okay.
He put tampons in all the boys' restrooms in school.
Oh.
Just in case there were any boys
who that felt a little extra unspecial.
Oh.
Yeah. Hmm.
Okay.
Sort of like the,
back to where we were, Mr. Tampon Boy.
Sort of like the kitty litter in the boys' restrooms.
I watched it last night. Okay.
How did you feel about it?
He didn't come across
as Vance.
Okay. No.
Oh.
Waltz. Didn't come across as the bumbling idiot that many thought that he was going to. Now he definitely showed that he wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. But I don't think he hurt himself as much as most people thought he was going to.
Or as much as she did?
I don't think that was a dial changer on the election.
No.
Nor was it going to be.
And I think a lot of people were mad because they didn't get after each other. They were nice to each other. That made a lot of people mad.
And
especially made the networks upset.
Yeah.
I thought they were both very cordial.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's great. That's how it should be.
And Vance was well, very well spoken. He was well prepared.
Yep.
If Trump doesn't win, Vance put himself in pretty good shape for 2028, I think.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think it's.
And if he does win, he probably put himself in pretty good shape.
Yeah. Well, if he does, he's in great shape. But I thought J.D. Vance did a fabulous job last night. With his facts, like you said, Jack, and knowing the truth, because he was questioned a couple of times, and he wanted to tell the truth, and they really kind of shut him down a couple of times. But I thought that was probably the most cordial and best debate in a long time.
And I thought, while it certainly wasn't 50-50 fair, it was much more fair than the last debate that was held.
No question.
Without a doubt.
So is Kamala and
Donald,
are they going to have another debate, or are we done with debate?
Depends on which day you ask.
Because I heard they were going to, and then I heard that they can't.
Yeah, he was saying no, and then the other day he kind of insinuated maybe, and now the last I heard this morning was back to no again. So
yeah, I heard that they couldn't come to agreements on where and what TV station and all that jazz, and it shouldn't matter.
Yep. Well, it does, because the whichever network it is, they get to choose the moderators, and the moderators get to choose the question and run the thing.
But so, it still should be a fair debate.
Well, it should be, but the as a lot of people have alluded to, the presidential debate, a lot of conservatives think that it was extremely liberal biased questions and the handling of the situation. I didn't see that.
But which is why I sent a personal email to both candidates offering insight.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Yep.
And totally an unbiased opportunity for both men. I guess it's a woman, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both folks.
Both folks to speak up. Yep. So.
And we could if it needs to be, we could kind of cancel sports talk that night so we could go longer.
Yep.
We could do the hour and a half.
Sponsored by B&D Construction.
Yep.
You know, so I've always emailed the candidates and invited them to Fort Recovery. I always thought it would be cool to have a town hall.
Yeah.
At the Monument Park, and let them kind of walk around on that top and walk all the way around the people. But the closest we've ever gotten was Governor Kasich was that 16?
Yeah.
And then he emailed. So I was like, oh my God, this might happen.
He actually got an answer.
And Hillary was running. I emailed all of them. And Kasich was the last one to drop out, and he dropped out about a week or so before he was going to come to the fort. So it never happened, but that'd have been cool.
That'd have been cool.
That's awesome.
Hillary and Fort Recovery.
That'd have been cool. Yeah, I didn't really think that like Hillary would come, but I tried to reach out to J.D. Vance. I called Commissioner Busher and tried to get his contact information and stuff like that, because I knew that him and Dave were pretty big buddies. Well, everything changed on his contact information, and Dave really didn't have a good insight to get him. And really, you know, the fact of him coming to Fort Recovery, he's probably got Fort Recovery 1.
Yeah.
So he's going to be more into the Michigan and the Pennsylvania and those states that are kind of the swing states.
I could probably try to pull a little a family thing, because according to my sister, our fourth great grandfathers were brothers.
Your
fourth great grandfather was
fourth great grandfathers,
and his fourth great grandfather were brothers.
You guys a Bant?
Yeah,
that's a hell of a tree, Hoss. That's a big family tree.
Yep, Hillbilly Elegy. He was from Eastern Kentucky, and
I'll be damned.
I've got several different family names that are involved with that, and one of them is a Vance from, I think, four. So it'd be six or seven generations back. But
I bet he knows you.
I'm pretty sure he does.
No.
Do we want to hit our third topic before we kick me out?
Yep.
What is our last topic?
Yeah, you were going to give him another topic.
Oh, I was going to give you one.
Yeah.
The new stoplight, yay or nay?
He doesn't care. He doesn't drive.
I don't drive.
He doesn't cross that street.
Oh. Have you heard any bad things about it, Rocker?
Not that I know of.
I have one complaint.
You got one.
It's happened to me two or three times. I'll pull up to the stoplight, and I'm on 49 going north or south. And the light turned green. I pull out, and before I get through the intersection, that's yellow.
So
if I have to stop because it's yellow.
That has not actually happened to me, but it is a short. So that sensor picks you up.
Yep.
And the way I understand it is, so let's say you were pulling up to that stoplight from your house, and you're sitting there on the Shell side, and you wanted to turn right and go to the high school. So you have you have, I think, and I may be wrong, but I think it's like 7 seconds. You can come up, stop, look. Okay, I can go, and it'll remain green on 119.
Yep.
If it picks you up, you're sitting there, then it'll go through the cycle, turn green, and let you go straight or to the left. But it is short-lived if nobody else is behind you.
Yep.
So the thing that irks me a little bit, and I understand now why we can't do it, but the green cross hand, you know, you never see that.
The pedestrian thing?
Yeah, for the crosswalk. So it doesn't change with the lights, but what we understand, or what I understand, is that we have our light remain green on 119 east and west unless somebody comes up to 49. So,
yeah,
you know, during the middle of the night, I'm assuming it's probably on green the majority of the time,
yeah,
on 119. So we can't have that pedestrian green hand unless you push the button.
It'll
go through its cycle and give you the green crosswalk. That's the way I understand.
Yep, and I'm sure that's correct.
I think it's worked out well. I haven't seen a backlog of trucks anywhere.
I totally agree.
Jack, are you off next week?
I am off the next two Wednesdays.
Oh, my.
So now what are we going to do? Guess we'll have to shut her down.
Live in a van down by the river?
So actually, next week, we're probably going to have our...
The Wild People?
No, not the Wild People. I don't know. Maybe they haven't contacted me, so... Anyway, we're going to have Adrienne Childry. She is running against Angie King. The following week, we're going to have the...
Zero chance.
Well...
You can't say that on the air.
So we're going to have Kim Rammel and some other people from the museum talking about the big battlefield thing.
I'd be there for that one.
Yep.
That could be cool.
And then somewhere in there, we're going to have the folks from the auction. For the one-of-a-kind auction, and I'm sure Angie King will probably be here. She always has been. And I think there's one other thing we have going on, so we're going to have to probably double up a few things.
We might have to.
Yep.
And we're getting ready to prep for the big Christmas gala coming up on December 11th.
Yep. Yeah, and, we already have somebody that's made a pretty good pledge.
I saw that.
Fortsite Fuel.
Fortsite Fuel does it again.
I think he's done it 2 years, and I think his smallest amount that he was able to donate before we ever really get started was more than $5,000.
Yeah.
So he gives a small percentage, like maybe a penny or two a gallon, because he doesn't make all that much, but he obviously by his prices, so because we're the lowest in for miles around generally.
That's super awesome.
Yeah. So he gives away some of the money, and it goes to a really good cause, and it's just a really good thing, and it gets people early thinking about what's going on.
Yep. Very good.
And then you guys come along and do stupid stuff, and we make a bunch of money to give away to people.
I'm not getting drunk this year.
Yeah.
Nope.
Pants on fire.
Not doing it.
One more year. That's my job.
Stay tuned for 819 Sports Talk.
Yeah, it's 819 now. We got a little bit to go here.
Uh-oh.
Back in a second.
Be in copy.
Right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part